back to let you know that I really can't let you go. I'm too close to you, oh, and don't want no one else but you, so stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
Truth and Coffee Time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Why do you always test without me though?
Because my voice is deeper. Yours is loud and obnoxious.
Don't start.
One, two.
Am I picking up? Hello, Mr. B. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's already started off where you already insulted me. And it hadn't even been, we hadn't even been up 20 minutes. Well, you've been up a long time, but I haven't been up 20 minutes.
I know, but I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said I was loud and obnoxious on the microphone when we test. You said you were deep and velvety, I think that's what
no,
you called
it. I did not. I said my voice was deeper and yours was obnoxious. I mean.
You were velvety. You know, Mahoney said you sound like Barry White.
No. I sound like I got a cold. That's what I sound like.
We both do. It's crazy, right? We can't seem to kick it. So the funny thing happened to us this week as we are sitting here drinking our coffee, and we'll get into our coffee in the morning because we got some good ones today, y'all. But the funny thing happened this week is our oldest Grand Joy Diva, she was, her hands was turning discoloration, an orangey looking color. And me and Mr. B was looking at her hands like, what is going on with your hands? And she said, I don't know. My hands just, that's been turning different colors.
Don't Google it, though, because, I mean, you'll think she has jaundice or something.
Liver disease. Yeah. Everything. We were going through everything, scared the hell out of us. And then a couple of days later, we noticed that it was gone and we didn't see it no more. And then after that, it just kept on coming back. She just, hands just kept getting oranger. And oranger, and I'm like, something is going on with her hands. So my husband brought her to me and said, honey, you gotta look at this baby's hands. It is straight orange.
She done touched Trump in the face.
It was so orange. It looked like she had been just rubbing her hands in Takis and Cheetos. But it wasn't coming off, no matter how much she washed her hands. So we actually panicked a little bit and took her to the ER. And we talk with mom, and we're like, mom, something's her mother, because she was here with us, and we called her mom, and it was like, mom, something's going on with her hand. She's like, well, mom, take her to the ER, and let's figure out what's going on, because that could be jaundice or anything. So we take her to the ER, and she's scared to death. She's crying in the car, and she says, Amma, please pray with me. They call me Amma. Amma, please pray with me, and we praying, y'all. We praying, Jesus, damn. Come on, Jesus. Heal these hands. We get into the ER, of course, and they take us through all the triage and everything. And the guy who's doing her triage asked her, like, when did you notice the discoloration? And I said, about a week ago. And she says, yeah, it was a week ago when I started using this lotion. I'm like, lotion? What lotion you use? I hadn't even known she was talking that she had been using a different lotion than what I had given her. And she says, yeah, she says, my teacher gave me some little hand lotion. And so she had been carrying this hand lotion around and using this hand lotion. And I don't know what dawned on me about this lotion, but I asked her, I said, is your teacher white? And she says, yes. I said, where's the lotion? And she had left it at home. And Mr. B, I called Mr. B, and he sent us a picture of the lotion. It was tanning lotion, like a bronzer. So my baby walking around here.
Bronzing her hands. Thank God she ain't use it on her face.
She walk around here just lotioning her hands up, but her hands just turning just a tan and orange. One of them look like them fake tans. But they still want to see her in the hospital because apparently there's some kind of virus that was going around in the kids around her age that's connected to their kidneys or liver or something that causes their hands to be discolored. Right. So the doctor said, well, let's see her anyway. Let's just make sure. And they checked her out and everything is okay. And so they brought in like some bleachy alcoholic wipes or whatever. And they did a swipe over her hand. And there it goes. The orange star is coming off of her hand. But you can see the relief on her face. She's like, oh, my God, thank God. I'm not dying in my hands.
Lord.
But what we did find out is that the teacher didn't actually give her the hand lotion. The teacher had the hand lotion on her desk, and our granddaughter just took it among herself to go up there and start using it and like the feel of it and asked her, oh, can I keep this lotion or whatever? And I guess the teacher didn't even think about it. Like, yeah, it's just lotion. And
I don't know. She probably took that stuff.
But I did talk with the teacher about it. It's like, you know, don't give her anything because her skin is sensitive. And, you know, I found out that our granddaughter, you know, she just took it upon herself to take this lotion. But the teacher was like, well, it worked way better on her than it did on me because I'm still pasty white. I haven't bronzed anywhere. So the moral of the story is if your kid has some hands that are turning orange before y'all get an ER bill, please make sure that you ask them if they took their teacher's lotion home.
$500.
For some tan hands. I told the teacher I was going to send her the bill. But what you drinking this morning, Mr. B?
Oh, something crazy. Matter of fact, it's called Crazy Cups. Marshmallow Mocha, Medium Roast Coffee.
I'm not sure where Crazy Cup is what they're out of, but when he roasted this mocha marshmallow, it literally smelled like chocolate and marshmallows in the house. Yeah. It was so good. And we don't even have this. This was a sample cup out of a box that had different type samples. So I'm going to try and find out when we get through with this podcast, I'm going to find out where Crazy Cups is from. And then I'm going to drop it on our show notes on our website. But y'all, I'm telling you, if you want to fake like you baking in the house, roast some of this mocha marshmallow. It has the whole house smelling like chocolate and marshmallows.
What you drinking?
I am drinking a oldie but goodie, a Starbucks dark roast, French roast. And it says it has tasting notes of intense and smoky. Most of y'all know I'm not a real dark roast fan, but there's a couple dark roasts that I've lately been trying with Mr. B. And that's this one. That's really good. And, of course, the one that the Juana sent us.
Did
that's
you know
a dark
the darker
roast,
the,
I believe.
The darker the roast,
the
coffee.
The sweeter the juice.
No.
Oh, okay.
The darker the roast. There you go. But look. The darker the roast coffee, the less it makes your, like if you have acid reflux, it doesn't work as much. But the lighter will make your acid reflux mess up.
That's good to know. You know, that's the same thing like with chocolates. They say the darker the chocolate is, the better it is for you. Like the milk chocolates and the lighter chocolates doesn't have the same benefits that a dark chocolate is. But a dark chocolate is so, it's got a, like a bitterness to it. The same thing with this dark roast.
Speaking of chocolate.
What, the darker the berry, the sweeter.
Nah, that's right on
we
topic.
Back on that again?
Yeah, that's one of my soulmates.
Your dark chocolate.
That's why my brother got the diabetes, you know what I'm saying?
Because the dark chocolate is too sweet.
Yeah.
You're playing too much this morning. Y'all, we are talking about soulmates, soul partners, and soul connections. And this is a new topic that we added to our Trello board. Yes, we do have a Trello board. And it's funny, too, because I have a friend of mine that I've been talking to lately every day. Hi, Mahoney. What's good? And every day we talk, she'll tell me, look, after we get through with this conversation, don't be putting me as no topic on your podcast. But it just comes up naturally. We'll have, you know, deep conversation with friends. And of course, me and Brian, we talk every Sunday over coffee. But this one came up because of our baby, our 9-year-old granddaughter. She has such a good friend that she made a connection with. And she has friends, and she has friends in school. She has different types of friends. But for some reason, this friend, we see like a soul tie. This young lady that she has become friends with. And they're actually in different areas, and they still call each other. They make sure that they remember in each other's birthdays, and they're nine, and the connection that they have is just amazing. It's absolutely beautiful. And neither one of them have a cell phone, so my 9-year-old has to use my phone to call her, and she has to use her older sister's phone to call her. And they literally are on top of it, like, okay, I'm gonna call you at 7 o'clock on the weekend, and you make sure you're near the phone. And if I am on the phone, even if I'm on the phone with someone important, and that phone call comes through, I will hang up the phone to get that phone call so our grandjoy can have that phone call. And last night they were on the phone, and it was something very, very special about that phone call. And the little girl, her birthday is coming up. And Malia said, what do you want for your birthday? Our grandjoy asked her, what does she want for her birthday? And the little girl cried and said, I just want to see you, you know. And my grandjoy started crying too. And it was just the most little special thing to see that little connection. And it made me and Brian talk about how your soulmates can come in all different types and forms.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So not just who you're married to, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm, a best friend.
Yeah.
I feel like energy brings itself together anyway.
Migrates itself.
Migrates closer and closer. So, I mean, wherever you, if you find out, if you met a friend, they used to be somewhere that you were. It's weird how that happens, how those connections meet.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I have friends that I have been in the same place with, but we didn't know each other at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, mm-hmm, if we would have stayed there,
like you and Chris,
mm-hmm, yeah, or me and Dre. Mm-hmm. So like, it's like, we've always been around each other,
mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying? But
didn't know each other. The energy was always there and didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. It's really, it's just the most fascinating thing to see how the universe brings energy together in human form. And we talked about how it really resonates how your soulmate doesn't have to be a relationship of sexual ties. It doesn't have to be a marriage. It can literally be a friend or a colleague that you met, but for some reason, your connection is so strong. It's like you've known them your whole life, or even in another life, because the energy is just so strong. We both have been looking at articles on this, and he's looking at one article, I'm looking at another, and it talks about the signs of soulmates, and it says how for some reason you just know that person. You have a tie or a connection with that person. You guys know that me and Mr. B, we were a blind date, and then we only dated 4 months before we got married. And people always ask, like, oh my God, I could have never done that. In my life, I would have said the same thing. I'd have never done that. There was something about the connection that we had that was so strong. The pull was so strong that we could not see each other. We could not talk to each other.
Fellas, my game was on point.
Oh my God. You had no game. Thank God for the connection, because you had no game.
I went with the, you know, awkward, you know, Bigfoot walking guy thing. You know?
No, guys, listen, check this out. My husband, what was that one time you did that line on me about, I don't see how no one could get rid of you, babe, because you like a diamond in the rough.
I don't remember that.
I remember it because I was like, oh, he's so corny and cute.
I remember my alarm went off.
That was that alarm saying, you about to say some bull snickety.
No.
What do you remember?
I do remember me touching the end of my finger with my tongue.
Oh, my God.
And then touching your shirt and say, you want to get out of these wet clothes?
Oh, my God. Please. We're going to do a podcast, y'all, on corny game.
No.
Corny. But really, though, in all seriousness, we really had a connection. Like, we literally, you know, we talked every day. Once I did take his phone calls, we talked every day. And we couldn't go a day without talking with each other. And it was just the like-mindedness, the calm that he would bring to me. No matter what that day was, there was a calmness that I had when I was talking with him, and vice versa. One of the things that this article says is that you just know, and there is a calmness that the other person brings into your life, no matter how bad you're going through something. I totally believe that, because I do know people that say, oh, that person is my soulmate. But then when they get together, it's just chaos. Like, they're arguing all the time. It's chaotic all the time. And I always think to myself, how in the world could someone that brings so much hurt and chaos to your life be categorized in your life as a soulmate? That doesn't mean that that person doesn't belong in your life, because that chaos and that sometimes that toxicity from a person comes in your life to show you what you should not look for in a person. Sometimes we don't know, we know what to look for, we know what to look for, but we don't necessarily know what not to look for. And sometimes people come in your life, and I'm not just saying relationships, I'm saying colleagues, bosses, friends will come in your life for a season, but they're only there for a reason to show you what you should not be looking for in that next energy that may come across your path.
Right. Do you believe that soulmates, if it be friends or romantic or whatever, mm-hmm. doesn't matter where you're at on the planet, you will make it to each other?
I do believe that. I do believe that somehow you migrate together. The world is not as big as what people think it is when it comes to friendships and soul ties and soul connections and soul partners. Somehow you find each other. Mm-hmm. I know before we met, we talked about kind of where we were in life
in the world.
Right. And you were in California
right.
the same time I was in California.
Right.
And then when you got injured and then went back to Ohio, it was the same time that I went back mm-hmm. to Alabama. And I always think.
And then I went into the military and ended up down in Columbus, Georgia.
Right down in Columbus, Georgia.
Right. Yep. Right where you were at.
But I always think that if you had not gotten hurt and went home, and I had not migrated back home, that somehow the forces would have kept us in California, and we'd have even crossed paths in California because the connection is so strong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we can finish each other's sentence. We know each other's thoughts. And even when we differ in opinion, it's not chaotic. There's a calmness and a respect. I may not align with what you're thinking, or I may not align with how you approach things, but it's still not chaotic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're able to communicate and talk it out.
Do you feel, and this is just me asking this, do you feel like soulmates sometimes that they don't meet until later because they weren't ready?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who's to say that we were actually ready when we did meet? Even though we had soul ties and soul connections, it was a bumpy road for right. a long time. Mm-hmm. But I think that it was a path or a journey that we had to take in order to get to where we are right now. But
there were some things that had to be done prior to us meeting,
right?
On both sides.
But also, I do feel too, 32 plus years of being together, we're able to do what we're doing now, mm-hmm. communicate and talk things through and see things insightful and give the best advice possible. We've never forced our opinions on anyone. We give the advice from our own journey and our own experience, but because we've been in the game so long, we can give different views to that advice. But that's not to say that a person who just met a person yesterday and start connecting isn't a soul tie as well. I mean, it literally, the paths and the journeys could be so different for everyone, and the timing could be so different, meaning that we may not have been ready for each other 2 years prior than what we met. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But that doesn't mean that another person and their soulmate isn't. You know, friendship, that soulmate friendship. I know a young lady who lives here in the DMV. Her best friend passed away of breast cancer some years ago.
Right.
And the best friend had a daughter and the daughter was still a baby when she passed away. And this, let me tell you, the little girl is in her teens now. But I want to say she may be 12 or 13. She looks like the spin image of her mom. She literally looks like the spin image of her mom. But the best friend that she had has literally never ever allowed her mom's presence to die. She has never allowed a year to go by that she didn't call her mom out for birthday, Mother's Day, friendship, when they met, the day they met, the things that the mother did. She's in that little girl's life as if the mother is still present and with us. I look at that relationship and I go, my God, that is a soul tie. She and that young lady was more than best friends. They were soul partners. They had a soul connection, you know, and she never allows her soul to die, even though her physical has left this earth. Her soul, she has not allowed her soul to die. She right. talks about her. She makes sure that, you know, she's remembered. She is in her daughter's life. She literally took her part of her soul and connected it with her and allow her to still live through her. That's a true soul partner. It's a true soul tie, you know. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do, you know, people think soulmates have so much to do with intimacy and marriages and sex, but it really doesn't. Because you can have great sex with a stranger and keep it moving.
I think your soulmate could be your job, too.
Yeah, like, it's whatever gives you that connection.
They can't leave you know, because most people who are, like, artists or most people who do things in science or that are married, they're married to their job. The relationship to the world is you know, not there, but it's just that they want to do only that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a soulmate as well.
I know. I hear, even like with my son and with others, I hear people say, you know, I'm really married to my art. I'm really married to my job. And you look at them and you go, oh, how could you be that? You need this in your life and you need that in your life. But how selfish are we to tell a person what they need in their life?
Mm-hmm.
They are content. They are satisfied. That whatever they're doing at that moment brings them that very feeling that you and I bring each other.
I know. And the crazy part about it is, even with, let's say, like soulmates in marriage or whatever, you go through a bumpy road. Artists go through a bumpy road. They might not have money, might have money. You know,
they go through the struggle,
and it's not even talking back to them in a physical.
It
only talks back to them
through energy, through their own minds.
So what
their
you put
spiritual
into
mind.
It, you get out of it.
Yeah,
right.
That's it right there. What you put into it, you get out of it. It's like the more efforts you put into it, the better you can see that soulmate connection open up as well. I know another thing in this article that it was saying for signs, it says you balance each other out and you respect each other. I said that before. We don't always agree. Sometimes we literally have to just walk away. But the respect.
I thought you was just going to the other room for something.
Boy, don't start, okay? The respect is there, though. So we don't disagree. I'm not going to belittle you and degrade you because you don't agree with what my thought patterns are. And you don't do it to me.
But
we respect
disagree
each other.
Sometimes.
We just disagree.
We just don't.
Leave it.
It don't even matter.
Yeah, actually. Sometimes we have to table it. It doesn't matter. What else that your article was saying about soul ties and soul connections?
It was this one part of it. It's called karmic. It's like for karma or something. Either negative, positive, or neutral. You have to go through it to get to a bigger you. And sometimes it's, you don't understand why you're going through with somebody, but it could be you have to get through that to get to the next stage of your life.
To the connection.
Yeah.
I can see that. We went through several phases in our life. I know that first 5 or 6 years or so, it had us rethinking, like, did we jump into this too fast? But yet we kept coming back to each other like, we got this. We got this, you know?
Of course we got into it too fast.
Of course.
Anybody listen?
Really? What?
And then you say, why don't you listen to me talking to your kids? But we ain't listen to our parents.
No, we didn't. But don't be putting us out there like that. Our kids need to think we perfect.
Uh-huh. shit. Ain't nobody perfect on this side.
One thing it does say, too, is that your soulmate is like-minded. You know how we always say, make sure your inner circle, that circle that can literally touch you physically, spiritually, soulfully, you know, even sometimes economically. Make sure that inner circle is like-minded in some form or fashion. You guys may be pursuing different things. You may have a different outlook. But you're like-minded in your ambition. You're like-minded in your skills and your innovation and your balance of spirituality and the way you think. And, you know, I truly believe that. I truly believe that like-minded people, they're more successful in their relationships, regardless of what that relationship is.
Being like-minded and being good at the same thing is different, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you're better at some things than I am, and I'm better at some things than you are.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a good balance. But our drive and our ambition and where we're going is the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I read this quote one time that said, look at the five people in your circle, and you're the average.
The median.
Medium, the average or the medium of all of them. It makes you sit back and say, okay, who is the four or five closest people in your circle?
When I look at it, sometimes I think I'm the bottom because of the people that I hang with.
Yeah.
But I also or know or keep up with, right? But I've talked to them too, and they feel the opposite. So it's like, more like, you know, steel,
mm-hmm.
iron sharpens iron.
Steel. And you can have different inner circles.
Yeah.
I've never thought that until really recently.
And they overlap.
Yes. You can have different inner circles. They overlap. Right now, I have an inner circle that was born out of me being an author.
Mm-hmm.
And they are amazing. But I feel like when I look at me as the medium of them, especially being a new author, I look at me and I feel like I don't want to say the weakest link, but maybe the one that's more novice of it all.
No, of course.
You know what I mean?
Well, look at the podcast world, mm-hmm. and your author world don't even touch each other.
Mm-mm.
They don't touch.
It's completely different.
Your military, your podcast, and your author don't touch.
It doesn't touch each other. Of course, you have that friendship inner circle. And what's so special about that friendship inner circle is that you may have one person from each of those outer circles in that friendship inner circle. It might be one person out of your author circle that has been your friends for years. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Kim has been my friend for 20 years. It right. might be one person in that podcast community, like Linda, who I've known through Kim for years now. Mm-hmm. She's a part of that friendship circle. So that friendship circle, that inner circle, may be different people out of each one of your mm-hmm. other inner circles. But when it comes to the balance of each one of them, they all serve a different purpose. You know, so I do believe that. But I do look at some of them circles and I look at myself as the novice. And I'm like, I have to make sure, what can I bring to the table that's of value? And it's not always about what you bring to the table, but the asset of being in an inner circle that helps you to grow in your life is sometimes about that table and right. what you bring to it,
right.
you know? So I do believe that. Soul ties, soul connections, soul mates. I think that we have to be careful of who we give the title of soulmate to, because you don't give them the title. The title happens. You know what I'm saying? It's right. it's almost not earned. It just, like, it's there. It is there before you even give it the title.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You agree about the important things. It says you share the same life goals. You have extreme empathy for them, for each other. Like, you may not be able to sympathize with what they're going through, but your empathy, you hurt when they hurt. You're in pain when they're in pain. You feel that connection with them. They are your best friend,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, a relationship or whatever that situation is, they're there for you and you're there for them. Like I said, you're like-minded. But also it says you challenge each other. Like, you're not their yes person. I think people get that part mixed up too, where they say, oh, my soulmate or my friend, they gonna always, you know, be down for me. No, that's not a true soulmate, because they need to tell you when you are wrong.
Right.
You know, or when you're stepping out of your character, or when you're doing something that, you know, that you shouldn't do. You know,
they don't belittle you. They just tell you.
They just tell you, my friend. I'm not gonna.
Put you aside, type thing.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let you just go down. I'm not gonna let you go down that path without you not understanding that I don't agree with that, because I know you.
Not that you won't go down it, but they at least get it off their chest.
Right. It says that you can totally be yourself. You can take the mask off. You can let your guard down, because you know that that person has your best interest at heart. Do you believe that?
Yeah. And then they're not going to do anything with what they know.
Exactly. They're not going to use it against you.
Right.
Yeah. We were talking to our oldest Grandjoy, because she had let her guard down and shared some stuff with one of her friends, teenager. She thought that was truly, truly her friend. They had a good friendship, she thought. And when the girl got upset with her, the girl shared some of the things that our Grandjoy had told her in confidence. And it hurt her so bad. I mean, she just cried and cried. She called us crying on the phone, you know, wanting to talk to me about it. And I told her, you know, the Bible tells us to make sure who you give your pearls to. Mm-hmm. And I look at that like you have to protect your peace. You have to protect who you are. You have to put a pause in things that you know that may could come back to you. Now she's a kid. She just turned 13, so she's learning this. That was a hard lesson for her, to know who to give your precious pearls to, your confidence to, your the things that are close to your breast to, you know what I mean? But that happens. That's not a soulmate that you share something with and then they get angry at you and then they go share it with the world, knowing that it will devastate your life, you
right.
know?
Right.
You fight for the relationship, you know, your friendship, your soul connection, you fight for it. You understand each other's emotional language. You don't even have to talk. You can look at that person and know that there's something missing or something not right with that person. It also says that you're each other's biggest fan. You cheer for each other. You when they're winning, it's almost like you're winning.
Right.
You know, I have a few friends in the author and the podcast community that are winning big time, and I could not be more happier for them. I share their stuff. I put their things in my stories. I tell people about it. I share their cards. You know, I share them as resources, because I'm so proud of them and I'm so happy that they're winning. And a lot of times you cheer for a person's win, especially when you know how much they've struggled to get to that win. You know that person and you know that this win didn't come overnight.
No.
Right. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let's see. Was there any other ones on here? You're secure in their relationship. You just want to be around each other. Those are some great things, and I'm going to put them on our show notes. But your soul partners, your soul connection, your soul mates, your soul ties. Did you feel at first when we first met that we had that soul connection?
I thought we were very compatible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was still trying to run.
What were you running to? What we got to go back to? What were you running to?
City Lights.
The club. Remember that club, City Lights? People in Georgia are like, boy, he bringing up the City Lights.
That was a long time ago. Last time I went down there, was Club 2000 or something?
I don't know. I don't remember what it is. I don't even know if it's still there. And with COVID, a lot of stuff has changed from down there, too.
Nah. I can remember in Georgia, when we were at Fort Benning, it was just regular, you know. Mm-hmm. But the problem I had with Columbus, Georgia, is because the news. right?
Yeah, they always had negative news, though.
No, too. Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I moved there from Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
So it was still Columbus.
Yeah.
So when I moved down there, it was Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm. But it was totally different news. But mm-hmm. it was terrible. And I thought our news was bad, but there's a lot of violence, yeah. you know, and didn't know. Mm-hmm. But
they only show, you know how the media is, they exploit right. on that. Because Columbus, Georgia got some beautiful areas in it, some beautiful spots in it. And if you are not from there, you wouldn't know how amazing,
yeah. They're trying, you know, to do that a area. Lot with that riverfront,
yes,
area.
Yes,
right,
absolutely. If you're not from there, guys, you wouldn't, you know, I look at the media and you just don't know sometimes, you know, it's almost like the 80-20 rule. You mm-hmm. believe 80% and then 20% of it is just fluff and entertainment,
nice.
You know.
It's bad.
It's bad everywhere.
It can be bad. Yeah. Anytime you have a, and I hate to say it this way, but anytime you have a military mm-hmm. installation, like mm-hmm. a fort or mm-hmm. a camp mm-hmm. or something like that.
Because it brings so many different types of people mm-hmm. To the area, which is the beauty of it, too. Because it brings different innovation, different mm-hmm. skills, but it all, you know, they say it could be a blessing and a curse.
Right.
Yeah, if to a city, and it can be. But I'm so glad that we were from, like, I'm from the area, and you lived in the area, and we knew.
You know what it's really
you
like.
You knew yeah. Columbus, Georgia, what beauty it brought
right.
to our lives. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you didn't just listen to the news. So I don't know how we got on that topic, but you're right. I absolutely believe that.
City lights and.
Yeah, because we had an amazing time. An amazing time. That was kind of like our stumping ground, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And thank God for that time, too. You know, and we met some amazing people there, some soul ties that we still
connect. It was the first time I ever seen a Piggly Wiggly.
Piggly Wiggly. We love Piggly Wiggly, y'all. But, you know, I know we're going to talk about this later sometime, but you know Piggly Wiggly was...
That's a grocery store, by the way, everybody.
Yeah, but you know Piggly Wiggly was... That was the store that I was telling you about the lady called my grandmother the N-word and wouldn't move her cart. Remember when I was little, I was telling you that story?
Yeah.
It was in the Piggly Wiggly. I seen... several interactions with my grandmother and white women in there who felt that she should either move out of their way or grab their card or move and let them get something off the shelf and move her out the way. Or when I was little, I seen that interaction. It was mostly always in a Piggly Wiggly for some reason, though.
I don't know. I can remember watching you tear off food stamps because back in the day they were like brown, pink,
yep,
yellow,
yep,
whatever.
Yep, I sure did.
Looked like Monopoly money.
Mm-hmm.
And
weird, I'm not ashamed though. We did what we had to do to take care of our family.
And give people behind us, like, come on now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'd be like, wait, while I get this brown dollar bill out of here.
Yep. Yep, yep. Georgia took care of us until we got on our feet. So, hey, shout out to Columbus, GA.
And that mystery meat, whatever that was.
Yep. Take that mystery meat and saute it with some onions and put it over rice. I don't know what it was.
Hey, that's a soulmate.
That's a soulmate. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for entertaining us by just listening to us and being with us. We hope that you're with your soulmate, soul partner, soul connection, or soul tie, whatever that friendship is and whatever that is to your life. We're going to put these show notes on our website, www.diverselove.com, www.truthandcoffeetime.com. Thank y'all so much. We love y'all so much. And thank you for riding this transparency train with us. Check us out at our website. Send us an email at hello@diverselove.com or at truthandcoffeetime@gmail.com. Again, check out our website. There is blogs on there. We have our podcast listed on there. Also, we have a shop on there with some pretty nifty things on there. Go out there and check it out. And of course, my new children's book is out there, Green Joy. So go check it out. Thank you again. We love y'all for real. And thank you for allowing us to share our truth over coffee.
We out.
We out. Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And also, please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is at Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, You can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me, take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee time.
Help me not think about all my lows. Think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind. Looking like it's Truth and Coffee time. Tell me what you really want.